Familiar with the book of Proverbs, it immediately follows the book of Psalms, which tends to be a little easier to find. It's in the Old Testament, and if you need a Bible, there's probably one in the pew directly in front of you. Before we jump in, I just want to take a moment, and for everyone who made it out for the movie night on Friday, and for everyone who served, I just want to say a huge thank you. Greatly appreciate all the hard work and the effort. We got chased out by the end of the night by mosquitoes, but it was a good night. Keith and I were joking and with the team a little earlier. I think when we left, I seen a couple mosquitoes. Like, yeah, that's right. That's right. Keep going. I mean, they pretty much owned that park by the end of the night. So if you have any suggestions with that, we're definitely open to hear. But again, to everyone who came out and everyone who served, thank you guys so much. It was a great night. Well, let me ask you a question. How many of you know someone or have someone in your life who you go to before you make a big decision? Does anyone have someone like that in their life? Now, let me ask this question, and feel free to shout it out. Why do you go to that person? Trust. Wise counsel. You can depend on them. Guidance. They have experience. Yeah, these are great things. It's true, right, that there are people in our life, we recognize this, that we understand, have the ability to see things or process things differently than ourselves, so we go to them. Because we trust and we believe that maybe they know something that we don't know. They have a wisdom to them, an understanding that we want. And isn't this true, that we can be kind of set on a direction, we can be moving towards something, and that person can say something, they can speak into our life in such a way that if we are heading in this direction, we might even just turn 180 and head in the other direction. Is that not true? I know that there's been some gentlemen in my life, one of them probably being my dad, who right, I've been on certain directions, they've gone, Brent, that's not wise, or you need to consider this. And it's like, stop, pause, turn right, a good military about face, and just go the other way. People of wisdom. You know, in the scriptures, there's a man who everyone looked to, like we look to some of those people we just mentioned. A man who was full of wisdom. Matter of fact, he wasn't just full of wisdom, but Scripture says this, that he was the wisest man to ever live. The wisest man to ever live. Now, if you're not familiar with this gentleman, his name was Solomon, and he served as the third king of Israel. He was the son of the famous King David. And Scripture says this about Solomon, that people from all over the world would come to Israel to sit under the wisdom of Solomon, to hear him speak. Can you imagine what that would have been like? Can you imagine what it would be like to sit with the wisest man who ever lived and to be able to ask him a question? I know that I have a few. I'd be like, hey, Solomon, please pick on me. Hey, quick question for you. You know, we can't do that today. We can't go up to Solomon and we can't ask him a question like they were able to probably somewhere around 3,000 years ago. But God has given us the ability to learn from Solomon. And you're holding it in your hands. The book of Proverbs. The majority of those Proverbs, we believe, were actually written by Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, who has given them to us so we, too, could be filled with wisdom. Listen to how Solomon opens this book, Proverbs chapter 1, right there in verse 1. He says, these are the wise sayings of Solomon, David's son, Israel's king. Written down so we'll know how to live well and right, to understand what life means and where it's going. A manual for living, for learning what's right, just, and fair. Now, I took that out of the Message Bible, which is a little bit of a paraphrase, because I really like how the author there puts these words. That we have this book to help us understand where life is going. You ever ask that question? What's the meaning of all of this? What is my purpose? What is my life supposed to look like? This book is the manual for living, to learn what's right, what's just, and what's fair. Now, last week, we opened this series that we're in the book of Proverbs, and we discovered the first thing that the wisest man who ever lived wants us to understand. And he said this, that wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Now, I know that that sounds a little off-putting at first, because fear doesn't sound like a good thing. And we don't have time to kind of re-unpack what we learned last week, but what we discovered is that when we begin to have a correct understanding of the awesomeness of God, right? God's not just like one of our buddies, but God is the sovereign creator of the universe. When we understand that and we rightfully begin to fear him, understand his glory and his authority and power, that fear actually teaches us the depths of his love and his grace. And again, if you're going, how does that work? You can go on our website, you can listen to that message last week. But now Solomon, he wants to teach us something else. Now remember this, Solomon started with this statement, the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. So if we want to live wise, we have to have that, but it's from that that springs the rest of the book of Proverbs. Really what Solomon's going to do is he's going to teach us how to put that wisdom into action in our life. And it starts here, Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 10. It says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Have you ever considered the power of influence? Psychology Today published an article in August 2017 by Mariana Bakarova, I hope I'm saying her last name correctly, who's a researcher at the University of Toronto, entitled The Power of Persuasion, Six Ways to Get Your Way. And in the article, Dr. Bakarova, she discussed what's referred to as social proof. And I have a quote here from her article. She says that in any given situation, we view behavior as more correct to the degree in which we see others enacting it. This is why in situations which are awkward or difficult, people tend to look around the room at others before behaving in order to ensure that their reaction is socially acceptable or correct. Now, let me break that down a little bit of what she's saying. Basically, what she's saying is that people have the ability to influence our actions, right? That's what she's saying, right? We've all been in that situation where something kind of awkward happens, and like maybe we kind of want to laugh or something, so we kind of look around the room like, all right, is anyone else? Because you don't want to be that only person laughing, right? I'm the only one who's ever done that, right? Because some of you are shaking. You know what I'm talking about here, right? People have the ability to influence us. And my guess is that we all understand that because every one of us has probably done something that we wouldn't normally have done if not for the influence of others. So let me give you an example. I have been camping. Now, that might not sound like a big deal to you, but let me say this. I hate camping. Right? There is nothing enjoyable about camping. You guys know what the definition of camping is, correct? Paying money to pretend to be homeless? I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand, like, who invented camping? Like, where? How did that discussion go? You ever wonder that? Like, man, I put in 60 hours this week. I need to do something to reward myself. I'm going to sleep in a field. Like, I don't get it. I don't want to pay someone to let me do it. It doesn't make sense to me. I hate camping. But you know what? I've been camping. Why? Because I'm married and because I have friends. And they have influenced me to do something I would not do on my own. Right? People have, right, that's the scene I'm waiting for. One of these days, Angela's going to drag me camping, and that's going to be the scene in the morning. It's going to be all over. Local pastor murdered by bear. There's going to be a wanted sign with a bear on it. Reward from Trinity Church. You know, we understand this, right? People have the ability to influence us. Sometimes those influences are really good and they're healthy. Like a counselor who helps us leave a destructive behavior. Maybe a pastor who encourages us to read our Bibles and spend time with the Lord. A friend who's there for us and maybe motivates us to start exercising or do something that's going to help us improve our health. Those are good influences. We need those influences in our life. But we also have to be careful. Because there's also what we would call negative influences. And that's what Solomon is warning us about here in Proverbs 1. To be careful of the influences that would try to persuade us to sin against God. Now, when we hear that, my guess is that most of us would probably say, well, obviously we shouldn't listen to those influences. If they're telling us to sin against God, I'm not going to listen to that. Remember, Solomon says he's talking about wisdom. So we have to use wisdom here. Rarely, I would say this, that rarely do the negative influences in our life directly say, hey, let's go sin against God. Rarely do they say, let's go do something that's going to be destructive for our relationship with the Lord and maybe even our relationship with other people. I get it. There's always, right, there's always exceptions to the rule. I'm not saying that happens 100%. But I would say on most occasions, people aren't saying, let's go do something that's deliberately sinful. But what's happening is usually they're saying things that on the surface look good, but go against God's word. They look good on the surface, but they go against God's word, which is why Solomon says we have to use wisdom. Listen to what this, in this part, what Solomon talks about these influences are saying. Verse number 13 says, this is the influence. We shall find all precious goods. We should fill our house with plunder. Throw your lot in among us. We will all have one purse. That's interesting. The influencers here that Solomon is warning his son, which this letter is written to, aren't saying, come on, let's go sin against God. Let's go break the law. Let's go do something terrible that we're going to destroy our lives over. That's not what they're saying. I find it interesting that they're saying, like, first of all, they say this, right? Throw your lot in among us, or this statement. Be with us. Be part of the crowd. Be part of the in. This is what, right, is happening now, right? It's this idea of inclusion, which don't we all crave that? Don't we all crave to be a part of the group that's accepted? I know I do. Come on, be with us. Throw your lot in. Come on, come this way. We're all over here. We'll have one purse. We're going to do this together. We're going to succeed together. Right? And there's these precious goods. We're going to succeed at this. That thing that you've been desiring, you're going to get it. Come, join us. Right? The influences aren't saying, let's sin against God. What they're offering is wealth. Excuse me, my mouth is dry a little bit today. I feel like my tongue is sticking to my teeth. Right? What they're offering is wealth and acceptance, which, let's be honest, are pretty enticing, right? We'll do this together and we'll be successful. Let me say this, that we're not tempted by sin because sin looks terrible. We're not tempted by sin because it looks terrible. We're tempted by sin because it looks good. It looks pleasurable. The very first sin that we see recorded in Scripture, Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve's rebellion against God. It says this, right, that Eve looks at the fruit and she sees that it looks good. She sees that it looks good. Sin always promises to meet our deepest desires. Sin always promises to fulfill us. And here's the reality. For a season, it will. It will. Sin will meet our desires. Sin will fulfill us for a season. But ultimately, sin always leads to death. Solomon continues in verse 15. He says, my son, do not walk in the way of them, or the way with them. Hold back your foot from their path. For their feet run to evil. Verse 18, he says, they set an ambush for their own lives. Solomon here, he warns his son, he warns us to resist the influence and the pressure to sin. Even if others are heading in that direction, even if others tell us, don't worry, it's going to be okay. Sometimes they might even say, God's all right with it. It says, resist. Because you see, what's happening is they lack wisdom. They don't understand that the path of sin is always destruction. That's the only place it can lead, is destruction. Many years ago, so Sienna, my daughter, who's 13, she was just an infant. Like, I forgot how old my kids are. She was just an infant. She was, I believe, just a newborn. Angela and I, we were living in Virginia, and I had the day off of work. I was in the military, so I went down to my favorite guitar shop, and I was looking to purchase a guitar amplifier. So, which is strange. 13 years later, life hasn't really changed. So... So I go down to my favorite guitar shop, and I'm testing out, I'm playing some amps and stuff, we're A-B-ing them, the guy's helping me, I've known the guy who's helping me for, I'd lived in the area for a couple years at that point, and he goes up to the counter, and he comes back, and he says to me, he goes, hey, he goes, girl up at the counter? And I'm like, yeah? He's like, she's into you. And I said to him, you know, I'm sitting there with my guitar, and I said, I'm married, and he looks at me, and he goes, doesn't mean you can't have a little bit of fun. To which my response was, well, I don't want to be murdered and then go to hell. So, which he totally didn't get. Now, I know that that's kind of an extreme. But, you know, for that gentleman, and apparently for that girl, Because everyone knew me at that place. They knew I was married. They'd seen my wife in there with me. They just went, hey, this will be fun. This will meet a desire. But what they couldn't see was that it was going to lead to destruction. Had I went along, not only would it have been sin against God, but it would have destroyed my marriage and ultimately just probably destroyed my ministry as well. And I wouldn't be standing here today. Right? But they couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. They just seen it as fun. They couldn't see that it was actually the road to destruction. Now, I know that that example, it's a little bit extreme. Maybe you're going, hey, well, I'm not at a guitar shop and someone's trying to get me to commit adultery. But here's the reality. We're all going to face pressure from others to engage in and approve of sin. And if you're wondering, what's sin? Sin is simply this. In its simplest form, it is rebellion against God's revealed will. It's rebellion against God's revealed will. And Solomon tells us that those who are wise stand against the influences that try to persuade us to sin. Now, I know that that can be hard. Not just because sin is tempting, but to say no to something we want is difficult as well. But also, it can lead people to rejecting us. To say no to someone can put us on the outside. When the group is saying, come on, you'll be a part of us, right? This will be our purse. We'll do this together. We're all over here. And to say, no, I'm not going over there. I'm not going to join in. I'm not going to approve of. I'm not going to engage in. Because I don't believe that that is God's will for my life. To do that many times will feel like and will put us on the outside. But what we have to remember is the road of sin only leads to destruction. It only leads to destruction. I know it's tempting at times, it looks good at times, it even feels good. But it ends in destruction. Imagine this. Imagine if everyone was going to the movie theater. And you knew that there was a bomb in the movie theater. And you were standing there and you were telling people, you guys, there's a bomb in the movie. Don't go to the movie theater. It's going to explode. You're going to die. If people stood there and they ridiculed you and then they mocked you, would you go see the movie? You guys apparently don't. You're deciding. I'm guessing no, right? The answer is no. You're all like, I don't know. What's showing? Is it Gremlins? Then maybe I would go. How long is the movie? Is the bomb set to explode? Do they have juji fruits? Right? You know, you wouldn't go. No matter how much people told you, don't worry about it. There's nothing going on. Nothing's going to happen. It's going to be hilarious. You got to come, right? There's popcorn. There's soda. You got to come. It's going to be epic. You can't miss this. You won't go because you know eventually it's just going to lead to death. Rebellion against God is a bomb waiting to detonate. It is a bomb waiting to detonate. When we rebel against God, the only thing it does, ultimately, is invite destruction into our life and God's wrath into the life that comes. And Solomon wants to save us from that. Solomon, right, he's that wise person, that person we're heading in this direction. And Solomon goes, hey, let me share something with you. He wants us to turn the 180. Don't just give in. Don't just go along. Don't just think, you know what, everyone else, I mean, would God really judge everyone for this? What does God's word say? Timothy, 2 Timothy, excuse me, chapter 2, verse 22, says this, that we are to flee temptation. Flee, literally run from. Now, if you are here today, and maybe you're feeling convicted, because maybe you're going, you know what, I've gone the path of come. I've approved of, I've engaged in sin, in rebellion against God. Well, I want to share with you the good news. The good news is the cross of Jesus, where Jesus went and he paid for our sins, where Jesus suffered the wrath of God that we deserve for our sin, so we wouldn't have to. The scripture says this, that if we will turn to God, if we will confess our sins to the Lord. The Bible uses words like repent, which the word repent literally means turn 180. It means a change of mind. It's that 180. I'm heading in this direction, and I'm repenting, God. I'm now heading in this direction. Scripture says that if we do that, if we turn from our sin and we turn to God, that God cleanses us from our sin, that God forgives us. The Bible speaks, it says that it's like being born again, like being born again, where we've never sinned. That's God's grace. But we don't take God's grace for granted. We don't take God's grace flippantly, but we understand what it cost him. It cost him his life. And he wants us to walk in that grace. And as we walk in it, we have to have wisdom. Wisdom to resist the pressures and the lure to rebel against him. Now, if you're here and you're saying, you know, there's something I'm wrestling with. There's something that's been very difficult. I feel this temptation continuously come over me to turn towards the sinful behavior. Well, listen to what Colossians chapter 3 says. This is the Apostle Paul writing. He says, set your mind on things that are above. Skipping down to verse number 17, it says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, when we think about fleeing from temptation, we don't just flee aimlessly. We flee sin, but we pursue Jesus. We flee sin. We flee temptation, but we pursue Jesus. And if you're here and you're struggling with something, first and foremost, I want to let you know that you're not alone, that there are people in this room who care about you, self-included, and if there's anything we can do to walk with you, we are here for you with no judgment, with no condemnation, because we are all broken people. But I want to encourage you, pursue Jesus. Spend time with him. I will say this until the day that I die. You will get sick and tired of hearing me say this. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Spend time with the Lord. Pursue him. And flee sin's temptation. My prayer for you is that you will be led by God's Spirit. And as Solomon has said to us, that you will walk in wisdom. And that you will resist the lure of sin. And pursue the glory of God. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for your love and your mercy. Father, we thank you that you have given us your word so we could know your will. God, so we could be transformed as your word comes into our life and into our hearts. Father, you know that we struggle with temptation. We struggle with influences, with pressure. Lord, help us to resist the things that would lead us away from you, the things that would try to come between our relationship with you. Lord, help us to stand strong in your grace and in the strength of your Spirit to honor you. Father, I pray for everyone here, Lord, that if they're wrestling today, if they're being tempted in a way, Lord, God, that you would show them the path of freedom, and that is in Jesus. Lord, that we would set our eyes on him, and that, Lord, we would pursue him with all of our heart. And Lord, as we do, give us the strength to resist temptation. And give us the wisdom to understand, Lord, when influences come into our life, to understand if it's an influence that's going to lead us closer to you or further from you. And Lord, if it's the latter, we pray, God, that we would, again, strengthened by you, God, that we would resist temptation and Jesus pursue you. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that God, that you would open their heart to the gospel. Lord, that they would receive you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. And God, that they would know that their sins are forgiven and they have a hope of eternity with you. Jesus, we pray this in your holy name. Amen.
So this last song is, it's titled Lead Me to the Cross.